Thank you for joining us today. As Associate Pastor David shares the Word of God, our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Associate Pastor David with today's message.
What an exciting time for us this week. As Arkansans, this Tuesday is our primary day for us here in Arkansas. In fact, it is Super Tuesday. They call it the SEC primaries, a lot of the SEC states, for those of you who are sports fans, after this Tuesday. But ours, which is the most important one, right? Ours is the most important one, which is happening this Tuesday. Well, what an exciting time in our nation that we are free to do this, that we are free to elect new leadership. Now, what we're seeing right now in our nation is a lot of frustration. What we're seeing is a lot of frustration. You hear a lot of people angry, a lot of people mad. They're mad at the government. They're mad at the people are frustrated. Well, why are they frustrated? Well, Proverbs 29:2 really explains it, and it says, when the godly are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked are in power, they groan. Well, we got a lot of groaning that's happening right now, and I think sometimes if you don't know what the Word of God says, you don't know why this is happening. But the Bible says when the wicked are in power, the people are frustrated. People get mad. People get frustrated. And so this is where the country is at, and you can feel it and you can sense it. In fact, in the four primaries that we've already had, there's been record turnouts. How many have seen that in Iowa and the different places? Record turnouts that you've seen. Well, why? Because people are mad. People are mad. And anger can be a good thing because it causes us to act, but we got to be careful that we're not led by our emotions. And this is a little bit of what we're seeing. People are mad. They don't know why. But we don't know why, because they don't know what the Bible says. The Bible says the wicked are in power, the people groan, so the people are groaning. But you know, if you're not a Christian, or if you're a Christian and don't know the Word of God, you don't know why you're mad, but you're just mad. And if we're not careful, that anger can cause us to go to emotional action and not biblical action. We should be led to respond biblically. Now, just one thing that happens to us, and you see this with Christians, is we get mad, so we quit. This is one thing that happens. This is totally not the right response. Well, if my guy doesn't win, then I'm not voting. And that is, you know, show me in the Bible where that's a correct response. Show me in the Bible where God said, work hard, but if you don't win, then quit. You just don't see. But for some reason, we separate things. But you're hearing it right now. Well, I don't even know if I want to vote in the primary this Tuesday because I don't even think my guy can win. Is that what the Bible says? To do the right thing only if you think it's going to work out for you? Never, never in the Word of God does it say that. It says to be faithful and to do your part, to do what God has called you to do. See, we got to do our part and leave the rest up to God. You know, I've heard people even say, well, I don't even care about voting. It doesn't affect me. And once again, that is not a biblical response. See, emotions can't be why we vote or don't vote for somebody. Emotions cannot be, because emotions will have you voting in the wrong direction. Anger is good if it leads you to right decisions, but we always got to go back to what the Bible says. In fact, just really quick, we won't spend any time on this, but when you look at Christian voting patterns, there are about 90 million evangelicals in America. And evangelicals is what you would try and describe as a biblical Christian, someone who genuinely tries to live their life according to the Word of God. And some statistics, and you can go a little bit either way, but roundabout, we have about 40 million evangelicals that do not vote in America. And that's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. This can't happen. We've got to do our part. And this is where Daniel Webster, he addressed this issue. One of the most famous orators in American history. He served in the House and Senate for almost 30 years. Here's a guy who really laid his life down for our nation. One of the most famous attorneys. He warned us. He said, I apprehend no danger to our country from a foreign foe. Our destruction, should it come at all, will be from another quarter. It'll be from the inattention of the people to the concerns of their government, from their carelessness and negligence. See, this is where we're at. In fact, what happens a lot of times is we get mad and we try and throw rocks from the outside, right? You ever gotten mad at the TV and you yelled at the TV? You ever done that? I want everybody to know here, the TV doesn't hear you, okay? Make sure you understand that. No one hears you when you yell at the TV. Your mate's probably elbowing you right now. See, I told you to quit yelling, you know. But you got to understand, you don't change the system by throwing rocks from the outside. We don't change the system by being mad at it. You change the system by doing your part. You change the system by getting leaders on the inside that represent biblical values. This is James Garfield, served 9 consecutive terms in the House, was the 20th president of the United States. He really made it clear when he addressed the issues of the day. He said, now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. This is what we do. We tolerate it. If it be intelligent, brave, and pure, it's because the people demand these high qualities to represent them in the national legislature. I want to encourage you, stop getting mad at officials that we've elected. What we've got to do is elect different ones. We've got to elect different ones. But quitting and throwing up our hands is not a biblical response. You know, another thing that I've been hearing lately, and you've been hearing this, is we've got to be fair and balanced. How many you hear people say this on issues? We got to be fair and balanced. We got to find a candidate that is in the middle, right? That can really be in the middle. I mean, you've heard that. My response is, please show me in the Bible where that is. See, as Christians, this has to be a reflex for us, right? Anytime something is said, we got to go, okay, does that line up with the Word of God? But once again, we don't know the Bible. We're not preaching the Bible. We don't read the Bible. And so when we hear something, we don't measure something based on the Bible. But God never looked for anyone in the middle. Think about that. God never looked for a leader that was in the middle. You know what he looked for? A leader that was completely his. God never said, lean to the middle. God, you know what God said? He said, be one or the other, right? Revelations 3:15, he said, I know all these things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. See, God addressed this whole middle thing. In fact, he was more angry at the middle than either one. I mean, we've got to realize what we are saying. Now, if we want to elect somebody who's a leader who can rally people, that's one thing, but you can't look for a leader who is in the middle. See, that fair and balanced just is not in the Word of God. See, God says it's truth or a lie. He says it's right or wrong. It's life or death, but choose life. God hates the middle, and we've got to see that. So, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about elections and voting and candidates? And this really has to be our thought. I've heard people say, I'm angry at the federal government. But once again, we don't know why we are mad. We're mad because the wicked are in power, and we got to understand what the Bible says and what the Bible says on how to fix it. Well, let's start with Proverbs 14:34. In order to understand how to fix where we're at, we got to understand Proverbs 14:34. And it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. So the question is, what brings about righteousness? What brings about righteousness? Well, Isaiah, isn't it interesting? The Bible addresses everything. Isaiah 1:26, it tells us what restores righteousness. It says, I'll restore your judges as in days of old, your counselors or lawyers, as at the beginning. Afterward, you will be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. You know, the Bible talks about how judges bring about righteousness. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says that we've got to have righteousness. It even tells us who brings about righteousness. It talks about judges and lawyers. In fact, this is our Supreme Court minus one. And everybody knows just a few weeks ago, Antonin Scalia passed away. My goodness, one of the most biblical judges. Just what an amazing man of God. And really just a sad, sad day. And I mean that really took me back for a couple days. Just how sad, what a hero that we lost during that time. In fact, we now have a vacancy because he passed away. And I'm sure everybody heard the arguments that already went about that, you know, you got one group that says, right now, of course, we should appoint someone. Then you got another group that says we shouldn't appoint someone. But it's interesting when you look in history, what we've done in the past. And let me just say this. By the way, this is one of the reasons this presidential election is so important. Because this president will decide at least one Supreme Court justice. And if judges bring about righteousness, we've got to get a righteous man or woman in there as a Supreme Court justice. So it's important that we know this. In fact, I don't know if everybody read the National Review online article that came out. Do you know it's been more than 80 years since a Supreme Court justice was confirmed in an election year due to a vacancy in an election year? It's important that we understand our history. Now, people will point out to Reagan, in fact, appointing Scalia. People will say, well, Reagan appointed Scalia in 88, and that was in an election year. But the vacancy was in 87. It just took a long time. It's important that we understand our history. It was actually not in an election year. But if we don't know our history, then people can tell us whatever we want. But it was a really good article as they talked about some of the history. It's actually hadn't been since 1932 that we had a Supreme Court justice pass away and was confirmed in the same year. Exodus 18:21 tells us the type of leaders that we should look for. In fact, Exodus 18, our founders got a lot from Exodus 18 because you see the type of government that we have today of how we elected. It says, but select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times. So Exodus 18:21, it gives us, also you see the different types of government. You see the tens where you got the towns or the cities, the fifties and the counties. The hundreds is more your state level and the thousands is more your national level. But it's interesting how God broke it down with his people into the different levels of government there. And then it also tells you the type of people, the type of candidate. See, it says a candidate that fears God, right? A righteous person, a trustworthy person. It says that hates dishonesty. Now, where does it say you choose them from? From among the people, right? It says select capable men from all the people. So you don't elect a foreigner. It's someone that is a natural citizen. So this is where we get a lot of things from our nation. But it says capable men. It doesn't say perfect men. Just godly, capable men. Well, how do we know? We've got to do our homework to know if they're godly, capable men. But isn't it amazing how the Bible tells us how to live every area of our lives? The biggest thing I want to point out is it says select, vote, select. It doesn't say sit on the sidelines. It doesn't say get mad and don't vote. It says select, and that is a mandate for all of us to do our part as a godly Christian here in America. Voting is not optional. It is biblical. So how do we know who to vote for? How do we do this? How do you select capable men? How do you know if someone fears God? How do you look at the issue? I mean, so many issues out there, and everybody that you talk to has different issues that are more important to them, right? Taxes are more important to some people. The abortion issues are more important to some people. Helping the poor, the environment, marriage, Second Amendment. I mean, there's just so many issues out there, and so how do you figure this thing out? Well, two things that I want to look at here today is, number one, we got to know the issues. We got to know what they are. We got to know what they mean. And then number two, we got to prioritize them. So I just quickly want to run through some of the issues and look at what the Word of God says and how it prioritizes the issues. And I'll tell you, and for the eagles that are here, and for those of you who might be joining us for the first time, soaring eagles is our most intelligent people here in the group. They have more life experience. They have more wisdom and all that kind of stuff. And I'm actually not joking. Because when we look at some of the issues for the eagles here, I am sure you are shocked to learn some of the issues that people in their 20s don't even understand the definition of. Well, you grew up in a different educational system than we're growing up in today. And so before we prioritize the issues, we have to define the issues. Because today we don't even know what the issues are. And this is a funny picture that I took off of social media. And it's a couple of people protesting milk. And it says, and it has a picture of a cow, and it says, "I want to live." And it says, "It's not food, it's violence." And I don't know if they know, but no cows were harmed or killed in the production of milk. But it's just, this is just a funny meme here of the truth that we don't know where milk comes from. We don't know. You know what I mean? It comes from Walmart, it's all we know, but we don't know. And I do want to show you a video. This is probably one of the most important videos that you have to see. If you did not see this, and make sure we have our sound there. But this is a CNN video where they went to a presidential rally for the Democratic candidate, Bernie Sanders, and they asked the different people at the rally to define socialism. I don't know how many of you saw this, but check this out.
Can you define socialism?
Socialism?
Can you define socialism?
Can I define socialism? Probably not, if I'm being totally honest.
Socialism, oh boy. I don't think I can.
Like Social Security, roads, Medicaid, depending on the form that it takes. Anything that's sort of come together and publicly funded and through our government would be socialism. I might be wrong, so if you make me look like a fool on the news, I'll forgive you for it.
With Hillary saying, "No, you can't," to me that's just like telling Dr. Martin Luther King, you couldn't dream. There's nothing wrong with dreaming. We want to teach our kids to dream. You cannot drink, you can drink, and it can be possible with a political revolution.
Now, here we are. I mean, it can be funny, but for me, it's more sad than funny. But here we are at a rally of a candidate that these folks are for, and they don't know what they are for. And now, if you're in the Eagles group, I said that you are more educated, and you really are, because you have seen socialism in reality. You know, you've seen it fall in areas. You've seen it rise. And, you know, if we don't know our history, history will repeat itself. And if we don't educate the next generation to understand what socialism is, then you can have a candidate come in and say, "I am a socialist candidate." People are not labeling him a socialist candidate. He says he is self-labeled, "I am a socialist candidate." And people can't even define socialism. Well, I can define socialism. Webster's Dictionary says it. It's a way of organizing a society in which major industries are owned and controlled by the government rather than by individual people and companies. I mean, that's what socialism is. It is government control. You can break it down even further, and it gives different definitions, but the one I want to point to at the bottom, number three, and this is Webster's Dictionary, it's a stage of society in Marxist theory transitional between capitalism and communism. Socialism is the road to communism. And to say socialism isn't communism is false because it's the road to communism. But see, we don't understand that. Now, what you need to do is go to Venezuela and see what they are going through and see that their people are trying to get freedom. But you go into their grocery stores and there's nothing on the shelves. And what's crazy about socialism is government causes the problem and then comes in and tells you it's the solution. And then it creates even more problems. And that's what's happening in Venezuela. It's amazing here. But we have to know the issues. But what you see is people don't even know the issues. When you take in our educational graduates today, when you look at high school seniors graduating from high school, when you ask them questions about the Constitution, 40% of graduates thought the Constitutional Convention produced the Emancipation Proclamation. The Constitutional Convention produced the Emancipation Proclamation. No, the Constitutional Convention produced the Constitution. That actually wasn't even a difficult one. But see, this is where we're at. 60% of graduating seniors can't even name one of the 19 cabinet-level departments. One. Department of Defense, Department of Justice, Education, Energy. I mean, we can't, not even one. And this is where we're at. Only 15% could name the freedoms protecting the First Amendment. 62% could not identify the three branches of government. See, it's important that we understand the three branches of government, the executive, the judicial, and the legislative. Well, if we can't name the three, how are we supposed to even know what they do? Well, we don't even know geography. 67% of graduates couldn't find Iraq on a map. 88% couldn't find Afghanistan. After Katrina, one-third couldn't even find Louisiana on a map. 75% couldn't find Israel on the map, on a map of the Middle East. Now, why is it important that we know where Israel is? Why is it important that we know geography? Well, right now, we have people running for office that are saying, you know what, I don't know if I'm kind of neutral on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict here. You know, I'm kind of neutral. I don't know if we should, you know, the mean Israelis are stealing land from the Muslim people. You know, guys, if you don't know geography, then you can't understand what the media is saying. See, when you look at geography and you see right here is Israel, the massive area that the Israelis have there, and you have 13 million people living in that little circle right there, and you have 1.9 billion Muslims in all of the land surrounding there, and we want to take that little land from them and give it to the 1.9 billion Muslims. But see, we don't understand geography. We don't understand Islam. We don't understand that Islam's goal is to annihilate the Jews. But see, when we don't understand the issues, it's hard to pick a candidate and understand, well, why do I care about Israel? I just want another dollar in my pocket. Does that make sense? See, as Christians, we've got to understand that the Jews are outnumbered 146 to 1 in that area. I think the land that they have is fine. More than one half could not find New York, Mississippi, or Ohio on a map. 39% of seniors in Baltimore could not find the United States on a world map. This is my favorite for those who have migrated to Arkansas from Texas like I have. 25% of seniors in Dallas could not identify the country that borders the United States on the south. Now, if we're going to talk about an issue like immigration, how can you talk about immigration if you don't know geography? Yeah, see, so before we can even prioritize the issues, we have to know the issues. Here's a challenge that I have for everybody here in this room. Could you pass the United States citizenship test? For those who are citizens, do you know that immigrants that come legally to America, 97% of them pass it? Did you know that? That is pretty amazing. But do you know that 1 in 3 Americans can't pass it? So we got those that come to our country legally, take the immigration test, and they do better than us who have grown up here in America as natural citizens. See, how can we be responsible with what God has given us if we don't even know what God has given us, if we don't even know what the issues are? This is an incredible, incredible quote by Thomas Jefferson. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. You cannot be free and ignorant. So the first thing we've got to do, you know, I think it's important. And maybe you've come here tonight and you thought, well, David, I just want to talk about the candidates and can we get out of here? And see, that's where we are missing it, is we have got to be people who love to study and learn, and because knowledge is power. And those who have all the knowledge have all the power. I mean, come on, if we don't know what socialism is, we'll vote for it, right? I mean, that sounds good. Let's have free everything. Boy, that sounds good. Free college, free this. I got college loans. Can somebody alleviate that for me? Free healthcare, free all that. See, if we don't know what the Bible says, then we cannot be ignorant and free at the same time. So that's the first problem, is we got to know the issues, and I want to encourage you to know the issues. Well, when you have the issues, the second problem is, how do you prioritize the issues? How do you prioritize? Is education the most important issue? Is religious liberty? Is tax cuts? Is abortion? What is the most important issue? How do you prioritize these? And I think that is great. Well, we got to go to the Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Remember, Jesus taught us what was the most important. What did he say? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. See, as Christians, we've got to seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added unto you. So righteousness is the first thing that we have to seek. So as we look at these issues, how do we see what's most important when it comes to righteousness? Now, righteousness just means having right standing with God. And when you have right standing with God, what's the most important thing? Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Let's look at how God prioritizes his word. Do you know in the Old Testament, there were 613 laws that God gave his people on how to live. And these laws covered everything in the Old Testament. I want to encourage you, really study the word of God. In those 613 laws, we saw health care covered. You see poverty addressed. You see immigration, war, military, education, taxes, foreign relations, environment. Every one of the issues God covers in his instruction manual called the Bible in the Old Testament. But what's interesting is God took those 613 laws and he narrowed it down to a top 10 list. In fact, with this top 10 list, he put it in stone so that we would know what it was, and it was called the Ten Commandments. Let's look at the Ten Commandments, for example, to understand the issues as we're picking a candidate. How do we prioritize the issues? Well, let's look at the Ten Commandments. Think about what is covered in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill is covered in the Ten Commandments. Now, kill, properly translated in the Hebrew, is murder. It is murder. Now, murder is the taking of innocent life. And God said, you can't take innocent life. God is against that. He is against murdering someone in cold blood. He is against killing the unborn. He is against euthanasia, killing the old, just because you feel like they're a burden on socialist society or what have you. Murder is wrong and life is to be protected. So we can see in the top 10 list that that is a priority for God. Okay, so life is to be protected in God's top 10 list. What else is to be protected in God's top 10 list? Well, another thing that you see is you see family. You see honor your father and mother. You see don't commit adultery. You see that marriage is important to God, that marriage is sacred and to be honored. If a man and a woman get married, then they're not to cheat on one another. You see that that marriage union is to be, it is sacred, is to be protected there. Now, also, it's honor your father and mother. It doesn't say honor father and father or mother and mother. The Bible talks about the two shall become one flesh. So even in God's top 10 list, he defines the family unit as man and woman. He says it is to be sacred, and kids are to honor that. So the Bible addresses right here in God's top 10 list, you see life and you see marriage and family. What else is in the Ten Commandments? Well, you could see, I am the Lord your God, and he gives us in the first four, have no other gods before me, no graven images, don't take my name in vain, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. The top four. Well, don't you think by reading the Ten Commandments, it's important to God that we serve him, that we have religious freedom? You can see in the top Ten Commandments, it's important to God that we serve him and that we honor him, number one. Well, we cannot elect leaders that tell us we cannot honor God. We cannot elect leaders that take our religious freedom away. So you could see in the Ten Commandments, when you connect the dots, that there are three things that are very important to God, and that's life, marriage, and freedom of religion. Now, there's a lot of other things that the Old Testament addresses, but they're not the top one. So you got to prioritize the issue. Healthcare did not make God's top 10. Does God care that we're healthy? Absolutely. But it did not make the top 10. Because you know what? If your life isn't protected, then you're going to have a hard time being healthy. If that makes sense. So you got to learn, we got to seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto us. So let's break this down. The number one issue as a Christian has got to be the life issue. The number one issue to a Christian has to be the life issue. And let's think about this. The Declaration of Independence, it gives us three inalienable rights. What are they? What are the three inalienable rights of the Declaration? Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. What's the most important one? Life. If you don't have life, you don't have freedom, and you're not happy. I mean, come on. Every unborn child that has been aborted does not have freedom and is not happy. We got to understand what the most important one is. No life, no liberty, no pursuit of happiness. And it's important as Christians that we are able to prioritize the issue. Come on. If a leader here in America is wrong on the right to life issue, they'll be wrong on every other issue. Think about this. When we're talking about the life issue, if someone does not believe life is to be protected, they might hang our military members out to dry. Let's think about this. If someone does not see that life is worth protecting, they're not going to protect your life. If they don't think an unborn child's life is worth protecting, then they're not going to protect your life when you get older. They're not going to protect your life when you're in the military. See, that's what separates us here in America. We will send military over to save one person. Why? Because life is sacred here. That's what we do. Now, let's think about this. Let's digress from this concept here. If someone won't protect your life, then that means they don't understand that God is the giver of life. And if they won't protect your life, then they're not going to protect your religious liberty to serve God. You got to understand that. That's the only reason life is sacred, is because God is the giver of life, and we have the freedom to worship the giver of life. Let's think about this. Let's go to the Second Amendment. If someone won't protect your life and your freedom to worship, then they're not going to protect your right to protect yourself. If someone doesn't care about your life, they certainly don't care about you protecting your life. If they don't care about your life, they don't care about you defending your life. So you can see why you got to prioritize these issues, because everything stems from these issues. And you can know this. If they don't see God as the giver of life, then they don't understand the sanctity of the institution of marriage and family. They don't understand that God set up the institution of marriage between one man and one woman. If you don't understand life and you don't understand that God is the giver of life, then you don't understand that God is the giver of family. Then they won't protect your family. But everything stems from life. Think about this. If someone won't protect your life, then they're certainly not going to protect your right to own private property. We've got to understand this. And this is the key to socialism. We didn't read it earlier, but in that definition up there, socialism tries to eliminate private property. That is the goal of socialism. Now, you may be saying, now, David, these are social issues. You know, what we care about, and you hear people today, we care about economic issues. Well, it's very important for us to understand, if someone does not care about your life, they're not going to protect your money. If your life doesn't matter, your money certainly does not matter, right? I mean, if you are nothing as a person, then your property is nothing and can be taken. Then they don't care about your business. They don't care about your tax dollars. They certainly don't care about the American dream. So the Bible gives us clear guidelines and direction on what brings about righteousness. Was that helpful to kind of go through the issues there? I hope it was. It's important to point out the fact also that no one running for office, as we look at the candidates here, no one running for office is perfect. There's no one on this earth that is perfect. In fact, the one man that was perfect was Jesus, and when he was on the earth, we crucified him. I mean, that was what we did with the perfect person. What we've got to realize here in America is we've got to find leaders that because where we're at is we're like the Titanic headed for an iceberg. And we've got to find leaders who righteousness is important to them. People who are closer to protecting life, who is the closest to righteousness, who will protect religious freedom, and that will protect marriage. And as we close here today, it's important to look at Edmund Burke and what he said. He said, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men and women do nothing. That is all that is necessary. And I want to end with a great story that wall builders came across by Lieutenant General Chesty Puller. How many have heard of Lieutenant General Chesty Puller? Anybody in this room heard of him? He's a really good man. I love his attitude. He's one of the most, if not the most decorated combat Marine in Marine Corps history. He is the only Marine to be awarded 5 Navy Crosses. And his 5th Navy Cross was awarded for action during December 5th through the 10th at the Battle of Chosin Reservoir of the Korean War. And it was during that battle when he made the famous quote. He said, "We're surrounded," and they literally were surrounded by the enemy. He said, "We're surrounded," and he said, "That simplifies our problem. Now we can shoot in any direction." He says, "They can't get away from us now." I love this attitude. And as Christians, it's important that we never have an anti-biblical attitude. Why? Because Esther was put on the earth for such a time as this. God had called David to defeat Goliath. God told Gideon to shrink your army and go out and know that I am on your side. God told Joshua. I mean, come on. We could go on and on and on. But remember, Elijah saw what was happening around, and he went up in a cave and hid and pouted. God has never called us as Christians to hide and pout. It doesn't matter what it looks like around us. Like Chesty Puller, if there's more enemies around us, it actually simplifies our job and our goal as Christians. But as Christians, God has never called us to quit. He's never called us to give up. He's never called us not to do our part. We got to be faithful. We got to help others to be faithful. But what we've got to be more than anything is biblical. We cannot allow the culture to shape our thinking when it comes to voting or when it comes to candidates. We've got to see what the Word of God says, and we've got to elect capable men who can go into office and be leaders according to the Word of God. I hope tonight was helpful. I hope it helped you. I hope you're able to go home now to go on that voter view to get your sample ballot. I want to encourage everybody to do that tonight. So over the next 2 days, you can be doing your homework and circling and asking God who He would have you vote for on Tuesday. Thank you guys for coming out tonight. You guys have a good week.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.